When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
All right, Score North extra innings. Declan Goff live from Target Field. So is Judd Zolgad live from the, what is it? Not the janitor's closet, but like the press box attendant closet.
Yeah, like if you can see here, it's the where lockers. I think my guy Chuck.
That's right.
Who has been in the press box forever, basically. And all
he lives
the
there, actually.
Put there, Chuck's great. Chuck's great. The people are what make the ballpark special, and Chuck is one of those people.
Indeed. All right, so Judd, the Twins fall 5-1 to the Detroit Tigers. This is Extra Innings. My name is Declan Goff. Hit that subscribe button for Minnesota Twins content. You can find the full show with Mackie, Judd, and myself. Trevor Plouffe joins on Tuesdays. Extra Innings content like you're experiencing right now comes from after the most of every majority of home games plus some select road games. They fall 5-1 today, Judd. Another series loss for the Twins. They haven't won a series since the opener in KC. And I think we are going to save some, you know, bigger picture stuff for tomorrow with Phil in tow and for us to do our State of the Twins episode. But let's obviously kind of start here with Louis Varland, who made his fourth start. And Judd, it is not going very well for the Minnesota native. 27 hits, 19 runs, 17 earned. So he's got that going for him. But opponents hitting .365 against him. He can't get hitters out. Even when he gets ahead in the count, which obviously historically and statistically is always advantage pitcher, he is really struggling just to get anyone out. And today, judging by the tone of what Rocco said at postgame, a demotion almost seems inevitable at this point, right? I mean, I don't know how he goes out there and makes what would be his next start for game one in L.A. on Friday.
It's interesting because I compare this to his friend and also a guy from the same part of town, I believe. Matt Wallner and Louis seem to be very much in the same predicament, to where the point I think we're now is they would be doing Varland a favor to demote him for now. It was I found it really, really intriguing that Rocco talked about the fact that after what he gave up Varland to two runs in the first, that Varland came in the dugout, basically said, I feel fine, but I can't get the pitches to go where I want. And to me, that just screams of this guy who came into the game with an ERA of 8+ and departed at 9.18. I think he's just in his own head. It's like Wallner at the plate. Like, I think there comes a point in time. Baseball is so mental. And this is what, you know, this is again pushing me to think that no fault of his own, Varland might be a reliever best suited, because you think about like what his struggles are, and it's a lot of mental stuff. Like, he's clearly amping himself up between starts, right? And when asked post game today, Varland admitted that he's basically thinking too much about things, that he is concerned about things. You know, if you're in the bullpen, the phone call comes down, right? And they say, hey, warm up, kid. And then you come in and you address things. If you're a starter, you've got, you know, 4 days basically between starts. So, yeah, I think the Twins are going to demote him. I also think that's the right thing for not just them, but him too. That does not mean that they are giving up on Varland. It does not mean that he is a failure. It might mean that he is a reliever more than a starter. But same thing with Wallner. At some point in time, I think it becomes unfair to the player, Declan, yeah, to keep him here, because you could just see the gears are grinding. And this game at this level is too tough to be fighting yourself. Like, your opponents are tough. So if you're fighting your demon sort of inside your head, I think it becomes a really, really hard thing to play this game.
I would say, too, there's two different type of, like, mental frustration. And they're two very different things with Wallner and Varland, at least from what I have gleaned just being around and just watching all these games. You know, it almost seems like Varland's, you know, frustration is anger, right? Like, you can tell he's legitimately really pissed off, and I don't blame him for being pissed off. He walks out of that podium and just crushes that box score, right? And he clearly was ready to throw it against the wall. And I think with Wallner, there was almost, I don't want to say a nervous energy, but he was just, I think, kind of lost in everything, right? Varland, I think, knows that his stuff is mostly there. He can't exactly locate it. He can't exactly finish with the pitcher's counts. So, I mean, yes, frustration on a bunch of individual levels can be wildly different. But I do think those two, in terms of, you know, frustrating starts this season, you can put those two up in terms of disappointments from the first, you know, what, 17, 18, almost 20 games now. I think those are two different types of frustrations, and Louis is definitely more, you know, external. You can see the frustration boiling over for him.
Yeah, I just think it would, I think right now he's the classic case of a reset. And I do think, you know what, he wanted to start, right? Like, he made it very clear, I want to start. There was talk, because he pitched so damn well in the playoffs, about him being in the bullpen, and he's like, no, I see my, but you know what? At some point in time, the team has to step in too and say, you might be best suited with your repertoire, with your stuff, you know, your arm, to come out of the pen. And if that's the case, dude, you could have a great career. It's a long time now since basically the entire bullpen was made up of guys who were considered to be failed pitchers because they couldn't start. Like, we're way past that. You can make a lot of cash. You can do just fine. But there is no question that, like, we're touching on one guy here, but I mean, you know, Dex, you look at this and this team has so many questions to answer, and we can say, well, they're missing Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa, and all that's correct. But the fact is, they have now lost 6 of 7. They're 8 games back. Now, the division is weak enough that there's a chance to come back.
For sure.
But boy, is the clock ticking. And so, like, there's a lot of very important decisions, some small, some huge, that need to be made here. And I think Varland in St. Paul is a pretty simple one, at least for now.
And I think what you're probably going to see, so Simeon Woods Richardson made his last appearance. He started for the Saints Friday night. The Saints have an off day tomorrow. Then they're home, I think, for a homestand. They got the old Rochester Red Wings coming to town. And Woods Richardson is scheduled to start Thursday in St. Paul if he were to, you know, continue the slate. I would bet that it's probably going to be Simeon Woods Richardson being the roster swap, obviously, for Varland. Varland will take his medicine, you know, probably make his next appearance in St. Paul. Simeon Woods Richardson probably lines up to start game one of that first road trip in L.A. against the Angels. Now, the Dobber did throw today, and he could be in line to potentially start game one against the Angels. He got hit around a little bit today with the St. Paul Saints, but those are your two guys. And in terms of, you know, Varland going to the bullpen, which, look, that is the end game. I think we all kind of saw that even before the season and even before the injuries and kind of if de facto got his way into the starting rotation because of the DeSclafani injury. He is going to still be a starter in St. Paul. Like, they're not going to just, I think, throw him into the bullpen. They want to still build him up and to get to a point probably where, yes, his next appearance with the Twins pending another injury to the rotation, if he does go down to St. Paul for a little bit, I think he remains a starter, but eventually that transition to the bullpen will probably happen.
And I think that's fine. Yeah. Again, this team has so many things wrong right now, right? Between guys being out hurt, veterans not performing, pitchers struggling, the bats. I mean, the bats are a whole nother story, which has become a massive concern. And, you know, we've certainly talked about that on our Twins shows and programs, but yeah, there's just a lot of things. And I am curious, like, what's the end game here, to use your term? What's the end game to address some of these things that go beyond Varland, that get into some of the veteran guys? So there's a lot here to unpack, and we'll certainly touch on it a lot on our Twin State of the Twin show on Monday. But for lack of a better term, in sitting here at Target Field today and watching the only game that I attended of this 3-game set in which the Twins lost 2 of 3 to the Tigers, I would describe this team as dead ass. It feels dead. Like I don't know what the spark is here. And again, you could say, well, Correa's going to come back eventually. Well, yeah, that's great. But this team has quite a few veterans, and it just feels like they get down today, and it was just spinning their wheels. It's about as big of 180 possible as, like, the first playoff game last year, right, Dex?
Yeah.
The Toronto game, this place is, and everybody, a lot of the veterans were amped up, and it was great to watch. This feels like, we're down by 2 after 1. Oh, boy. And Baldelli was trying to say, well, we had chances, but it didn't really feel like they did. Like, I know what he's saying, but it didn't really feel like it was going to happen for them.
So, I mean, I do agree with Baldelli that in the first inning they load the bases and they can get right back into this game, essentially. And Varland is, you know, basically shoves his way to 39 pitches in that first inning, and the Twins were lucky to be down 2-0, all things considered. And there were opportunities early there, so I do agree, but I would say from a 30,000-foot view, this is where when these starts have happened from Barland and a little bit of Paddock too, where, I mean, you get down by a crooked number and it's the top of the third and you're just, as a hitter, what are you supposed to start doing? You start pressing, you start getting nervous, and yeah, you kind of throw away everything you're trying to do because you're frustrated. So yeah, the whole thing has been a big disappointment. It felt like if they were able to get a series win today, which would, again, would have been their first since the opener against KC,
right,
and with the White Sox knocking on the door coming here for four tomorrow, and I know there's probably even an exhale of that, of thank God the White Sox are coming to town. If you would have been able to get a series win, I think the mood begins to shift, but that pendulum has yet to really, Judd, get even back in the positive area since the series opener in Kansas City.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Yeah, and the problem now, too, with the Sox, because, I mean, they are a dumpster fire. They are one. They're probably the worst team in the big leagues. The problem, too, is, you know, you should sweep them, right? You should win three of four. But the worst thing that you could possibly do is apply pressure to yourself. And that's what, from Varland on down, that's sort of how it feels. Like, it feels like nobody's having fun, and everybody is trying to press to do something. It's like they're trying to win five games in one day, which you can't do. And you could feel it, like, from Rocco and as well, you know? And, I mean, Dex, we just came up from downstairs, and there's guys in the cages immediately post-game hitting and trying to solve their problems. And I can tell you that might come off as an admirable, hey, I'm going to stay late and work on things, but we've covered sports a long time, and we both know that when you start to press like that, especially in baseball, right, because it's so mental,
yeah,
and like you're like, I'm going to go in the batting cage and I'm going to fix this. That's unfortunately not really how things work, especially when it's team-wide. And, I mean, Dex, I'm just going through the veterans today coming into this game, and I know that a lot of people hate batting average, but Byron Buxton, 215. Willie Castro at shortstop, 148. Carlos Santana at first base, 123. Kyle Farmer at third base, 088. Christian Vasquez catching, 121. I mean, you just have a team-wide funk here. And the problem is, if it was one or two guys, I think you'd say, well, it's going to be fine. But the problem is, it's so many guys, and it feels like it's contagious, like it's the flu, like it's caught.
Yeah. It's not good, and maybe White Sox help you build up some confidence, but yeah, anything less of three out of four from them is a disappointment. A split is a disappointment. You need,
oh God, yeah.
You need three out of four. That blueprint I gave you and Mackey on Thursday,
yes,
of 9-3 over the next 13 is obtainable. Well, now you've lost two. So basically, can you only lose two more games between now and next week? And with the way the Twins are playing, that's the furthest thing from a sure thing. So it's ugly, man. Ugly baseball.
Yeah, and I it just personally to me, it feels like something is coming, like some type of change. And I'm not talking just like Kepler comes up. I'm talking like a trade. I'm talking because I don't know that if you're the Twins, if you can just sort of hope and wait, and if you end up punting, you punt. Like this team, I mean, Dex, it's gone bad since the playoff loss to Houston, right? Because you had the TV thing, the TV kerfuffle, the Sonny Gray kerfuffle. This place is threatened to be empty this summer. And that would really, really suck. Because when this place is full, it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
But I don't feel like Dave St. Peter and Joe Polad can just say, yeah, Derek, you just, whatever happens, happens. Like, there's a business aspect here, too. And it just feels like some type of spark is needed desperately. If nothing else, just to buy time until guys come back.
A couple roster notes, too, as we continue on here in the extra innings and hit that subscribe button, like button. We appreciate it. Even though this TNS team isn't doing so hot, I still plan to be here, and this might be a fun little season for me as well.
Hell of a year to decide to cover the Twins.
No kidding. So Max Kepler, most likely back tomorrow. I mean, I would be shocked if a roster move is not coming either this evening or tomorrow morning, and you can probably expect Kepler back with the team and in the starting lineup tomorrow. And then Yoan Duran also going to St. Paul on Tuesday. But to your point, Judd, I mean, does Kepler's return and Duran's, you know, eventual return, which is probably next weekend at this point for the road trip, is that really going to solve what's been the problem with this team, which is hitting and so Duran, many other things? Yeah.
Duran comes in and closes. Okay, you tell me the next time that they're going to need a game. You know, that's the problem is, like, okay, that's awesome. He's coming back. But with the way that you are struggling right now, you know, it's not like you've got a bunch of leads. It's not like Griffin Jacks is melting down and everything else is fine, right?
Yeah, it's brutal, and the bullpen's been their best thing. So even not to, like, go back to our Varland conversation, like, it's not like Varland even fits into the bullpen right now. Like, the bullpen, actually, I know there's been a couple blips, but it's been their biggest strength. Their bullpen is the furthest thing down in their pecking order of problems right now. It is the furthest thing down in their terms of problems right now. So that also has to kind of work itself out a little bit as Duran will re-enter the fold. Offensively, not a lot to report, but Austin Martin. Yeah. Austin Martin hits his first big league home run. You and I were, you know, in the bowels there waiting to get in the clubhouse access. Cool little moment. The fan that caught the ball was able to meet Austin. They were able to take a couple pictures and, you know, give some high fives and whatnot. A pretty cool moment. But I spoke to Rocco Judd pregame about him because, I mean, this kid comes up and he's not your conventional hit bombs, hit the long ball type of player. And we even had questions about that when he was acquired and we've been able to watch him when he was at St. Paul, that is this high OBP guy, which is the most important part about a baseball player, but is this high OBP, low slugging guy, is that bat going to translate to major league pitching? Mm-hmm. And I asked Rocco about just that development of can a guy like that still succeed? And obviously early results are, yes, he totally can. But I really thought the quote he gave me of he's doing it in the right way and he's doing things kind of his way, which is interesting because Doogie reported with us last summer that they kind of came to him and said, you know, yeah, we like your OBP, but you need to be hitting for more power. And it seemed like Austin Martin eventually said, well, bleep that. I've been great everywhere I've gone and I've done things a certain way. I'm going to continue to do the things a certain way. And that's foul off pitches. That's work competitive at bats. And that's to get on first base every single time, or at least if not get on to second. It was an interesting little comment from Rocco there because we don't see too much of that admission, in my opinion, from him. No. And for Austin Martin basically to still be able to play, and Judd, he hit fifth today, and I know that's because of necessity because of the injuries, but Austin Martin made his major league debut 2 weeks ago, and he might be legitimately one of the better spots in the Twins lineup right now.
He doesn't seem to think, which I love, right? Like he doesn't seem to grind his at-bats like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I love that, and I also said, and I think I turned to you in the press box and said this during the course of the game, too. Strikes me as a major leaguer circa 1986 or so. Like, he's going to get on base. He's a smart, scrappy player. But, yeah, he's not going to hit bombs. But, you know, the lineup doesn't need everyone to have the same approach. And I'm not accusing the Twins of always saying that. But you know, if they said, Austin, we want you to hit for more power, and he clearly tried. Like, he struggled. And then he said, I just can't do it. Sorry, but I am a productive player being who I am. Then that's great. But yeah, I like among all the things going wrong right now, watching Austin Martin, I think, is actually fun. And I don't know long term where his position is necessarily on this team. We certainly saw him struggle. He got way too close to the ball that hit off the wall and Karen pass him in left. But that being said, I appreciate the at-bats, and I definitely think that there's a place for a guy like that who can get on base, and it seems to be, at least first blush, it's early, a heady player, as they like to say.
Yeah, I think there might be a little bit of an adventure, if you will, in the field for him as he gets settled. But, I mean, at this point, you kind of take some of the lumps because he's been able to make productive at-bats. So I don't know if left field is, you know, maybe his permanent position. If he is, it's going to take a lot of work. He does play a really good backup center field, and I don't mind him in center. But, of course, you know, if Buxton's healthy, and we've seen it on display already, even though the bat hasn't necessarily been there, his glove is still placed at an elite level, so you can't really move Buxton out of there. There will be a little bit of a journey, I think, fielding-wise for Martin. But, I mean, yeah, you can't take his bat out of the lineup right now, so you kind of have to sometimes live with. He had a miscue, too, yesterday, I believe, diving for a ball that he probably just should have played on a hop. I understand him trying to play hero, but a couple miscues. But in general, to paint a good picture, Austin Martin has been one of the few bright spots of the season.
I think you can say this as a positive. His miscues seem to be like he is trying too hard.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not like a lapse in concentration. Like, we've seen that, right? It's not like he's lapsed and it's like, dude, what are you thinking? Like, what are you doing? You could see what he's thinking. It doesn't work necessarily, and it certainly would if he's going to stay, for instance, in left long term, which he might not. It would need to be smoothed out. But all of that being said, it's also not like a detriment to his style of play. I think that's just his style. And as he improves there, I think it does get better. But you're right. He's not the type of guy who you're going to say, hey, Austin, you misplayed that ball and left. You ain't playing because this team needs everything it can get at the plate. By the way, again today, 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. I don't know what that stat is now, but the last time I looked, it was absolutely horrendous, the lack of clutch hits this team has.
Yeah, the lack of clutch hitting. They've made some minor adjustments even I've been able to notice on two strikes. They're fouling pitches off. They're waiting for theirs. They're not trying to pull the ball. Rocco's been using that term a ton. There have been, you know, baby steps. That's probably the best word. Baby steps into trying to make that better, but still a long ways away from succeeding that. And hell, maybe White Sox pitching is what gets a little bit of a shot in the arm here. This is a pivotal series. It's a pivotal series with two of some of the worst baseball teams in Major League Baseball, by the way. I mean, the White Sox, Judd, are one. That is just one of the worst assembled teams I have seen in my young life. I'm only 31. You've seen double almost of what I have. But
yeah,
that White Sox team's bad. If they don't take 3 of 4 from that team, I mean, the panic meter's already been, you know, probably pressed by some. If they don't take 3 of 4 from that team, this is going to be a long season.
Oh, my God. And, like, right now, they're 7-13 and 8 games back. So if they don't take 3 of 4, and the series is interesting because you should win, and again, it's baseball, but you should win 3 of 4. But if you do, you can't take a lot from that.
No,
like,
can't.
Hopefully it builds your confidence, but you also can't say, well, you see, we're back now. You literally should win 3 of 4 and still just sort of say, okay, we're just starting here. But what you're talking about, the White Sox are so bad, it's not going to really embolden your confidence, because that right now is, I don't know what's transpired there. I mean, it has become a complete and utter embarrassment. But yeah, if they split, I don't know what to tell you, man. I think that you should go to St. Paul and start doing this show on the Saints, because all that we're going to be concerned about is who's coming next, because the current collection ain't doing it.
Well, I can't even do that because Brooks Lee isn't there.
Yeah, what's the update on him?
Yeah, there was no update from – there was a barrage of injury updates that I touched on an extra innings episode from Saturday morning that you can check out, but there's no update, no real comment on
– with a back?
Brooks Lee, with a back.
That's not good.
Which, not a good sign. Not a good sign for a player that should have hopefully been able to come up here, and now he's – I don't know. There's no update. There's a bat signal looking for Brooks Lee basically right now.
Yeah, I don't like young people with back problems.
No, not at all. Hit that subscribe button. This is Score North Extra Innings. Tomorrow we'll have a full show. We'll have a State of the Twins episode, and it's going to be a doozy of an episode with Macchia and Toe between us two. And then also, of course, big week in general at Score North. We have Purple Daily Draft Party that's on Thursday. Plenty of Purple Daily and Minnesota Vikings content coming at your way over the next few days as well, with the draft being on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, and of course, the Wolves. Oh my God, I'm omitting something. What am I forgetting?
Live show right after.
The Timberwolves, these two knuckleheads were at the press box, or on the court, basically, near the court.
Courtside, yeah.
Courtside.
Media row, media tables. It was very exciting. We have one good thing going right now. One good thing.
Minnesota sports, Joe. That's basically how that goes. So hit that subscribe button, hit the like button. We appreciate it. Stick with us. I'm not going anywhere. This is Score North Extra Innings. We appreciate you. We'll be back on Monday.